One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Moss Beach Distillery. Who is the woman in blue who lingers at the haunted Moss Beach Distillery? What would make a person continue to linger in the same spot for more than half a century? Paranormal investigator Lloyd Auerbach joins us to discuss the woman in blue who's made herself known to patrons of the haunted Moss Beach Distillery and restaurants for decades. We hear about the multiple ways she has communicated with the living and how she even managed to change her dress from the other side. We even discussed the principles of paranormal research and the surprising discoveries that Lloyd Auerbach has made about what is truly behind many supernatural experiences that have plagued thousands over time.
The property itself was built, as far as we know, what we've gotten from the historians, in 1926 as a private residence. But shortly thereafter, it was purchased by a Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area restaurateur by the name of Frank Torres. And it was converted into a restaurant, a grill. And he also purchased a hotel, which was a small hotel, which was in where the parking lot actually is today. The hotel burned down in 1957 in a not so unexplained fire. So it's not anything to do with the paranormal.
Okay.
The restaurant itself, because Prohibition had started, was one of many places here on the West Coast that was a speakeasy. Although when you say that, of course, you conjure up images of Chicago speakeasies, which are either underground or hidden someplace. This was quite out in the open. In fact, the restaurant sits on a bluff right looking over Moss Beach, actually, and over the Pacific Ocean. So it's an obvious place in some respects. Mm-hmm. Frank Torres made his place very popular, according to some locals who remembered that far back. It was a fun place to be. There was a piano player. They had dancing, a lot of drinking from the illegal booze brought down from Canada. In fact, the beach below was one of the beaches on the Northern California coast where the smugglers actually landed to bring booze in. And the place was frequented, according to local reports, by people such as Fatty Arbuckle from Hollywood and some other Hollywood folks who would come up the coast to go to San Francisco. It was host to people like the governor of California, according to some reports, and the mayors of San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose and surrounding towns, as well as the police chiefs. You know, Prohibition was not a popular thing in many parts of the country. And consequently, because of their clientele, the place itself was never raided. There was never a report of that. Although later, through our process, we learned that there were three raids on the Smuggler's Beach below. Mm-hmm. In around 1929 or early 1930, a young woman started working in the hotel and then frequently coming over to the restaurant after work. And she became known as the Blue Lady at that point because she always wore bright blue clothing. She started an affair with the piano player, Charlie. And then the story is that she had left her abusive husband in the Midwest, fled to the Bay Area and eventually down the coast to Moss Beach. Just so you know, a placement, the town is just a little ways south of San Francisco. So it's not far from the big city, so to speak. So one night, her husband showed up and tried to get her out of the place. And the story that we have from the locals and through one of the local historians years ago was that he was promptly ejected from the restaurant, from the place. I mean, it's a speakeasy, so there were plenty of bouncers around, most likely.
Sure.
For whatever reason, later that night, the woman and her boyfriend decided to go for a walk on the beach, which people often did in the evening, so if the weather was not foggy. And what we do know is the next morning she was found knifed in the back. Most of the information we have indicates that the piano player, her boyfriend, was unconscious. There were a couple of locals who had heard that he had actually been scared off and ran away, but that doesn't really jive with what we know from other sources. And then within a few days, a woman in a blue dress that was bloody was seen on the beach. And then the blood disappeared very quickly. Just a woman in a blue dress. A couple people recognized her as the Blue Lady. In fact, a lot of the customers didn't know she was dead. They just saw this woman down on the beach. And eventually, over the next few weeks, according to the reports, she was seen coming up the beach, coming up the hill on the bluff next to the restaurant, and eventually in the restaurant and in the hotel. And so most of the occurrences since 1930 have been were visual until around the 1970s for that.
After the 1970s, does she simply disappear, or is there other occurrences of her interactions?
She seemed to get a little more physical in the 1970s. Like I said, for the most part, and I've talked to witnesses who had seen her in the 40s and the 50s, even in the 60s. And then in the 70s, a couple by the name of Pat and Dave Andrews bought the place and ended up living in the space below the restaurant, which originally was a garage and then was turned into an office. And then it was turned back into an apartment for them, apartment and office. These days, it's an actual office for the staff. So Pat and Dave reported that while there were still sightings of her, that especially Pat seemed to end up with a bond with her because she suddenly became very helpful. Pat reported a number of instances where she would reach for a pencil or be looking for some writing implement and it would just simply pop out of the pencil case, you know, the pencil holder or out of a drawer. There was one time she said she was couldn't find her checkbook and she was seated at the office desk and the checkbook floated down from a high shelf above her where her husband had put it. So there were a lot more physical things happening at that point. Otherwise, people reported seeing her. One kind of common thing was in the ladies' room, women would see, would be looking in the mirror, and they'd see this woman in blue standing next to them, and they turn and look, and there's nobody there, and of course, then the image disappears. Or they'd be alone in the ladies' room in one stall, and they'd hear a woman giggling in the next stall, even though there's nobody else in the ladies' room. Other folks have seen her outline along with Pat and Dave Andrews' experiences in the office. The Tiffany lamps would occasionally start swinging on their own. Chairs would move on their own. Glasses would slide across the bar. All playful stuff, according to the witnesses.
When an entity like that goes from being very visible with many stories of the full-bodied apparition or just even, oh my God, there's a woman out there, not even realizing it's an apparition of some sort. And then where it almost tapers down a bit, her story continues and she's interacting in other ways. What do you think that is? Is that something that, this is obviously just an opinion-based question, but obviously sure. You know the world well. Is it something where over time do you see things like that where the apparition slowly fades, yet their energy is still there and interacting? And maybe it's just kind of one of those things where over time the ability to show themselves in such a strong fashion fades, for lack of a better term.
Well, first of all, it's important to know that when people are seeing the apparition, that they are not seeing the apparition with their eyes.
Okay.
It is a connection, a psychic connection.
Okay.
And it seems to rely on the entity more or less thinking out, broadcasting, if you want to put it that way,
okay,
the image of themselves in the patterns that we have of apparitional experiences. And there's thousands and thousands of them on the books in my field, in parapsychology and psychical research. Mm-hmm. People are seen as apparitions, not necessarily the way they look when they died. I think The Sixth Sense got it wrong. The movie The Sixth Sense got it wrong. People are rarely seen with that bodily damage. She was seen with a bloody dress for a couple of days and then no blood. And people who die at a very advanced age, when they are seen as apparitions, they look in the prime of their lives or look healthy. Mm-hmm. So it's more about a person's self-image. And even the clothing that they're wearing can be dependent on their self-image. In fact, with the Blue Lady, my first experience there was an investigation done for Japanese television. And we were working with a Japanese medium. She was the center point for a series of specials that I worked on. And she had a conversation. One of the things that she did the first night was she had a conversation with the Blue Lady. We got a couple of names. We got a first and middle name, Elizabeth Clare, no last name at that time. And Mrs. Gibo had a sit-down discussion with the ghost about her experience. We had not filled her in on some points of history. In fact, it was very hard for me to dig up, only through some of the locals. It had not been publicized, so it would not have been information she had anyway. And she confirmed it based on what the ghost was saying. But then she pulls out a fashion magazine and starts flipping through the pages and pointing to specific dresses and fashion, showing it to an empty chair, which is where she said the ghost was sitting. Within a couple of weeks, I got a call from the restaurant saying, "We think we have another ghost. There's a young woman here in a black cocktail dress and more modern jewelry," according to witnesses who have seen her. And when I went down there and talked to a couple who had many, many visual sightings of the ghost, and even the woman actually claimed, she was a neighbor, she claimed that she had conversations with her. She said, this was actually in a subsequent conversation I had, she said it's the same woman. And then in a subsequent conversation, she said, "Oh, I had a conversation with the ghost, and Mrs. Gibo told her how to change clothes." So she's not been seen in her blue clothing for many years at this point, because she learned how to change her clothing mentally. As far as the physical stuff goes, it seems that that's rarely an instant thing for any apparition. Even apparitions that only stick around for a few days typically have no physical power, you might say. No ability to do mind over matter, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it takes a few months and things might move, but most apparition cases have no physical activity. For whatever reason, she decided, or she figured out how to do it, and she decided that's where she should put her energy rather than being seen by people. Although she's still seen by people who are very psychic.
Yeah, that's very interesting, and it's kind of one of those. It's an aesthetic thing, but it's something that we talk about on both of our programs somewhat frequently. Is how one is seen once they've passed on. Is it the clothes they're wearing when they die? Is it right, a younger version of them? There's all these variations, because we hear so many stories from everything of someone's looking like they got mangled in a car wreck as a ghost, all the way to it looks like the younger version of themselves and they look pristine and wonderful. It's an interesting way of thinking of this, it's more so them, the entity, the ghost, the spirit, understanding on how to project themselves. Is that what it kind of comes down to? Is that what you're saying?
It does. But I will also point out that not all figures that are seen as ghosts are actually conscious. Mm-hmm. Now, there is that imprint factor too.
Sure.
And that's a lot of them. So a lot of the ones which are people are seeing someone who's been knifed or dead or shot, or there's mangling in an accident. Some of that can be the imprint of the event.
Sure.
On the location.
When it comes to seeing a full-bodied apparition like that, you had said earlier that it's not necessarily visually seen. It's right. Oftentimes someone.
Well, it's definitely not an optical thing.
Sure.
We know that.
Oh, that's my question about that. Does it take, because the way I describe sensitivity levels, it's almost like a 1 to 10. I kind of feel like it's a sense that really hasn't been extremely understood or recognized yet. Some folks can hear frequencies that the dogs can hear and others cannot. I kind of look at it being able to be sensitive and empathic along those lines to a certain extent, where some are at a 10, where they can literally see people that are not there, that or that are there, that others cannot see, and they can have the conversations and everything of that nature, all the way down to the 1 where that same person walks into the room and they just kind of get an eerie feeling. And sometimes I think there's zeros as well, where they're just completely not attuned to it. So when it comes to seeing a full-bodied apparition, is that something in every case where you at least need to be somewhere on that scale to pick it up, to pick up an apparition, or can an apparition appear to anyone of the apparition's choosing?
Well, as far as the second point goes, we're not really 100% sure about whether the apparitions get to choose who they can broadcast to. And the fact is that not everybody perceives things psychically, visually.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.